Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Who Lead, and with me today is not a leading lady today. Today we have a leading man that's on the show with us, and I am delighted to introduce all of our listeners to Alan Nelson, who is a lecturer of management at the Naval Postgraduate School. And Alan is the author of How to Bring Out the Leader in Your Daughter. And I'm going to have a little conversation with Alan here because he's got other books on young leadership development. So, Alan, we'd love for you to welcome yourself to the show, say hello to our listeners, and we're going to get right into our topic of She Leads. So say hello to all of our listeners.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to have you on the show. I mean, one reason to share a little bit of disclosure is I wrote a book last year where I was interviewing men, asking them what they think women do that sabotage their success in business. And I know we learned of you and that you've been researching young women between the ages of 10 and 18, and your focus and passion is on helping those young females to be better leaders as they get into adulthood. Is that right?
Well, it is. You know, we've really been studying all kids, 10 to 18. Our primary focus was to try to find out those kids who are gifted in organizational leadership. You know, if you look at any playground or any lunchroom, you can see certain kids who seem to have that Pied Piper effect. But obviously, you know, half of those are females. But then with a little bit of study that I was doing some research with the on a Navy SEAL project, really came to the awareness that our history and culture does a disservice to female leaders. So we said we need to give them a bigger head start. So we decided to put some of our emphasis just on young female leaders.
Well, I'm curious, can you, I mean, share a little bit, because your background, I mean, you graduated here in San Diego, and you've got your doctorate, your master's in arts and psychology, and a doctorate in leadership from wonderful USD, University of San Diego. I'm dying to know, where did the kind of inspiration come from, the tie-in with the Navy SEALs and the inclusion of women, and where this evolved into the She Lead, developing 10 to 18-year-old female leaders? How did all this come about? What was the observation with the tie-in with the Navy SEALs?
Well, this is only half hour show, so I got to be quick.
But exactly.
I had a doctorate in leadership, and you know, when you do that, you go to work with adults, because pretty much everybody who specializes in organizational leadership goes to work for companies or works in leadership development, because companies hire adults to work for them, and then they're interested in developing their leadership. But after a decade of writing books and being adjunct professor and working with leaders, I came to the realization in midlife that we just, you know, invest a lot of energy for not a lot of return on investment. So there seemed to be a better way. If we could get to leaders while they're moldable instead of moldy, I thought we could do a better job not only helping them be effective, but also be ethical. So that started a 10 years now, a pilgrimage, in doing the research not only in developmental psychology and understanding how kids develop, but understanding the uniqueness of those kids that just have that sort of innate ability to get others to do what they normally wouldn't. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And then while working on that, we started a nonprofit called Kid Lead. I began teaching at the Naval Postgraduate School, and I did a couple research projects. You probably know that in 2016, The U.S. law says that any female can try out for any type of military position.
Yep.
In the past, you know, it's just kind of grown, but special forces was not an option. So obviously when the elite Navy SEALs have to face that, they have to allow women to try out. They put a lot of groups together, and I happen to be on one of those groups, looking at co-ed teams, looking at the research behind how it affects to be on a co-ed team, the roles of women. And so that whole process helped me do kind of a deep dive into not only co-ed teamwork, but also women in leadership. And I, you know, I'm married to a great woman who's an incredible leader. So I've seen her own just, you know, challenges and frustrations with organizations and culture. But it just brought me to the realization that not only do we need to start young, but especially if we want to see more women in leadership roles, we really need to identify them early, give them a huge head start. So that's really kind of a fast elevator speech of what SheLead is and how we came about focusing on young women.
I love that. I mean, and seriously, it's like, you know, there's so many statistics which we don't have time for on the show today. And most of our listeners, Alan, are, you know, women who work for companies, women who are owners of businesses. And, you know, I hear every day, it's like what women say they struggle with, or, you know, what they are frustrated with as they, you know, kind of call it in so many words, advancement, right? And I'm kind of curious with you, I mean, what are some of the things that you see women kind of struggle with that they, I love what you said earlier where you go, you want to get them before they're molded or they're moldy. You know, you want to get them when they're moldable, but not when they're moldy. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be moldy either. But, you know, getting them at the young age, what are you finding that changes from the point of when they're, you know, I guess moldy versus when they're moldable? What are some of the characteristics you find that, you know, we can help them with younger?
Well, and I tease about being moldy. It's not that we can never grow. It's just that our pliability does ebb as we get older and we get set in our ways. And Harvard said that the average first official leadership training is at age 42. Well, that's long past the developmental time when our character is moldable and when our cognitions are most elevated. So, again, it just makes sense for both genders to say, how do we start young? Just like the Olympics starting this weekend. You know, there are some countries, they start looking for their great gymnasts at 4 or 5 years of age. Why don't we do that for leaders? So I think one of the things we've learned, for example, in working with very young leaders, and especially girls, is that sometimes girls get accused of being bossy, and more so than males. Males, sometimes with exhibiting the same social behavior, will be perceived as a strong, assertive, aggressive leader, whereas a female for the same behavior may be tagged as bossy or overly opinionated. And so that's a, you know, obvious discrimination. Another thing we noticed that, especially in typical co-ed high schools, is that female leaders tend to sort of step back and let their male counterparts step up. Part of it maybe has to do with just social norms or the whole dating, mating thing. But we don't see that nearly as much in all female schools. In fact, if you look at congresswomen and a lot of female leaders, they went to all-girls schools. And one of the reasons is that without the men in the presence, they can step up. So there's not that whole sort of dating, mating dance that we do to let men be men and women be women. And so those are just a couple of things we've noticed that distinguishes female leaders perhaps than their male counterparts.
Well, and you've got so many books. I mean, I'm looking at your books. It's like we'll tell our listeners, just check you out on Amazon. It's like start downloading some of these great books. But one of your, I don't know if this is one of your newer books, but it's How to Bring Out the Leader in Your Daughter. And, you know, it is interesting to me that so many, you know, women, like I have some male colleagues of mine that are saying now, I'm going to get my granddaughter or my daughter involved in team sports as opposed to tennis or ballet or the individual sports, because they want them to grow up to be more of a team player, you know, because when it's all individual and their, you know, performance. I've also had, you know, male executives who have shared with me that, you know, they want women, or purposely, they'll say women don't see the team aspect as much as their cohorts or their male colleagues. And so I'm curious what, you know, from your standpoint, what are some of the things that, you know, people I'm saying it wrong, is what should we do to bring out more of those leadership qualities in young women? Like, what is it that they're missing that, you know, they can be a better leader as they get older? How do you teach somebody, you know, to, I guess, speak up and not be tagged a bitch, if I can say it that way? Those, that seems to be the coined phrase.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the last couple of years, we have focused primarily on leadership ability as a gift. You know, there are all sorts of, you've heard of gifted and talented education, but the Marlin Report back in 1972, published by the United States Department of Education, recognized leadership as one of the domains of giftedness. But those who develop giftedness are almost always academicians. So those of us who develop leaders almost always work with adults. So we're trying to fill in that gap between people who work and understand young people and those who understand organizations and leadership. So I think just understanding that probably about 10% of women, young women, girls, have an acute ability, an exceptional ability to influence others. And I think sometimes, again, in schools, we tend to sometimes punish them for this ability because they're disruptive in class at times. Sometimes teachers see them as a threat to conformity because leaders tend by nature to be nonconformists. So sometimes they get labeled as troublemakers, noisy, bossy. And I think it's just ignorance for a lot of adults, sometimes educators, sometimes parents, who don't learn to recognize that these gifts that now sometimes may irritate us are actually gifts that companies pay a lot of money for, you know, 10, 20 years down the road. So if we can see these truly as gifts or symptoms of gifts, as opposed to just bad conduct or rebelliousness, I think that's a big step forward, especially in home life where males tend to dominate and or adults tend to dominate, and certainly in schools where adults tend to dominate. We need to recognize these young leaders for who they are, future CEOs.
I mean, this is just amazing to me. I had no idea what you shared, that women going to all-girls schools, you know, had kind of a different chance, so to speak. And I'm paraphrasing. I know you have better words than I do, and I'm, you know, kind of recapping. But when you look at a woman who goes through a co-ed school at a young age, what is it that could be done to kind of help a female have more of those leadership qualities? I mean, because I think leadership, you know, training for women is a little different than it is for men. I mean, men have that upbringing, that grooming, that culture. Women don't as much. I think it's changing, but what are some of the skills that you think should be taught if, as an example, a young female is going through a co-ed school, like you mentioned? How do you teach a female to be a leader, or do you?
Well, I think the younger you go, the more you have to rely on natural ability and talent. I think as we get older, we learn life lessons and we gain life skills that can be translated and changed into leadership. But I think certainly by the age of 10, 11, 12, even early high school, I don't think there's a lot you call organizational leadership. I think you can teach them life skills, you know, speaking, confidence, self-esteem, but we're really trying to tag and identify those students who have an exceptional capacity. Once we've identified them, then I think we need to train and develop them, which is what we've done in this whole project-based curriculum we've developed, is to create curriculum that actually schools or youth groups can use. And then the third thing is just to release them, to let them lead. And usually when we talk about students leading, it's any number of other things other than truly leading. Or sometimes we put them on a team with an adult and the adult leads and we call it a leadership team. But we need to let them lead. We need to give them the experience to actually take risks, to be in charge of people, to run meetings. And those sorts of opportunities are priceless in terms of developing and catalyzing that potential that they've had.
Well, and I'm curious with you, if you're interacting with the school systems and just, you know, it's, let me just say, not it's kind of the standard, the norm. This is the way we've always done it, is my impression of the school system. So, you know, and you're educated, and obviously you're a scholar. How receptive are schools to this kind of new perspective of developing female leaders in general? I mean, are you finding schools are embracing this concept, or has it been on kind of deaf ears? It's like, oh, this is the way we've always done it. What has been your kind of impression based on your take?
Yeah, I can tell you're baiting me, Michelle.
Well, no, not at all. I'm not baiting you. No, I mean it is sincere. I'm like, oh my
gosh.
Years.
Sorry?
No, I was just saying, I wasn't trying to bait you at all. I'm like fascinated with this because you're like, you know, it's kind of like Goliath and, right? I mean, the whole kind of thing here that you've got the big mothership that you're trying to get to change.
Oh,
I think it's a hard thing to do.
I was having fun with you because for 7 years, I've just hit my head against the wall trying to get in to schools. I've spoken at school conferences. I've done leadership camps for hundreds of students at a time, demonstrating our project-based curriculum, et cetera. And I came to the realization, you know, at first I was just frustrated. And then I came to the realization, first of all, most schools are just inundated just to teach academics, right? So that's
right.
Their primary purpose. So I get that. So they have very little bandwidth left over. Second thing is we're asking them to identify and develop organizational leaders, and they've never been trained to do that. So their expertise is pedagogy, their expertise is childhood education, but most teachers have never led an organization themselves. Most educators have never had executive training. And so part of it is just like anything, you know, we tend to study something and then we get good at it. But if you haven't studied it, you're probably not going to be good at it. So all of that is to say that in general, there's just not a lot of interest in schools in developing young leaders. And it really comes down to definitions because no school would admit that. It's just that their definition of leadership is making an impact with your life, you know, developing your potential.
Right.
We would say that for everybody, whether you're a leader or a follower. So I don't think it's a matter of really saying they don't believe in leadership. It's just that usually they have a pretty different definition of leadership than most of us do who run or work in organizations.
And, you know, and this is, and again, I'm so loving this conversation because, you know, I hear from women all day long that will go, gosh, I wish I would have known this, you know, at my younger self, my stage, that I could have learned
right.
these skills, which is right up your alley, you know, but yet, you know, again, not to kind of berate the school systems. I mean, it is the behemoth it is. I will say that. You don't have to say that. I'll take the heat on that one. But, you know, and it does good. But obviously it sounds like maybe a different perspective here is that I think more and more parents are identifying that if they want to really see females, and again, we're just focused on females. I mean, it's any young generation, but to see more of those females get to, you know, the boardrooms and get to those leadership, truly leadership positions, there's something that's just not going right. I mean, women are more educated than they ever have. You know, I mean, we have all these wonderful statistics. Women are graduating more than they ever have. Women are starting businesses at twice the rate of men, but yet they're still opting out. You know, and the question is, what is going on that makes women who have fabulous skills and, you know, they have education, they're just not getting to where we think they want to go. And maybe it stems here from this piece of it, you know, is what you're talking about. It starts at an earlier age than what most people do is bring it in at the college or the later high school years. Thoughts?
Well, Michelle, you know, one thing both of us know, because we've probably read similar things, we know that for a woman to be considered equal to a man in terms of leadership, they need to outperform a man. And again, that's in general, but the research shows that. So again, if we want to develop exceptional female leaders, we need to start early. We need to give them a head start, like Malcolm Gladwell wrote in his book, Outliers. We need to help them have 10,000 leadership experiences before they even get to the point where they are truly in an authority role as a leader. So I think there's a lack of that, lack of opportunity. And I think the other thing is that sometimes my experience is that in when we developed SheLead, we just thought, you know, it was right in after Lean In came out, and there was a lot of energy there about women in leadership, and so we thought, this is a great time. But in all honesty, I found that although there's a lot of talk about women wanting to be more recognized as leaders, I found that the women who are leaders are usually so consumed with their careers and their families that they have very little bandwidth left at the end of the day or end of the week to invest in young female leadership development. And I think that's kind of the sad thing is that we recognize there's a cultural gap here, but it's like no one is picking up the ball to really develop that aspect. And so, you know, when we created the curriculum and when we started contacting women's groups and women's community networks, we just found that it was kind of challenging, even though everyone believes in it. It's kind of like everyone was just tired at the end of the day, and they said, I don't have the time to teach and train a bunch of girls how to be leaders. So again, I think it's not just men keeping women down. I think sometimes it's just weary women saying, how do I do this and maintain a life? So it is a, you know, multifaceted challenge that we're facing.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think my true colors are coming through here, but I'm like, what a shame. And you're being very politically correct, let me say that. And as, you know, I mean, kudos to you for that one, because I'm like, you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the biggest things that, you know, I like I said, I interviewed a lot of these executive, both male and female, but for 3 years, men leaders. And it's like the number one thing that they said, Alan, was that, you know, literally this was like almost verbatim. If you women would just support one another more effectively, that alone would move the needle forward. I mean, it was like I was, you know, wanted to crawl up into a corner, you know, into a ball in a room, because it's like the number one thing that women don't do is support one another as much as we could. And I will say, I do get it, because I hear, you know, women all day long that will say, it's like, gosh, I'm overworked. I have so much to do. I got the kids, the family, the this, the that. Yeah. And I get it. Yeah. But I think that that's going to change, because what is interesting to me is that men are groomed a lot differently, you know, cultural and upbringing is that they're groomed to be mentors to each other. They're groomed to help the next one in line. And I don't see from the upbringing of women that that's that. And I would love for you to kind of share with our listeners, I mean, what are some of the elements of the SheLead program? Because I will be your champion, because I think this is an amazing concept to get girls at this age as opposed to when they're later. And I think, I mean, first of all, I know you're onto something. I hang with females all day long. But on the same token, tell us a little bit more about the SheLead program, because I love it. I love the name. It's like I want to know more of what your passion and mission is, with some elements to share with our listeners.
Well, thanks. What SheLead does, it's what we've tried to do is take some of the best experiential learning that happens at very expensive executive retreats and executive training events, and then just age size them. So you don't really learn leadership from a book. You don't learn it from a class. You learn it by doing. So what SheLead curriculum does, it's all project-based, but you get a group of 10 to 18-year-old females, girls, young women, into a room, and as long as they have sort of a leadership aptitude, we have an assessment that we provide on our websites free of charge, and parents can take it on a student or child, same thing with the educators. So the adult takes it on the child as long as they've seen them in a social setting. So as long as you get females with a strong aptitude for leading into the room together, then you walk them through this curriculum. They do everything in teams of 4 to 6. You have a designated team leader. And then the person who's trained to use the curriculum trains coaches, and you have one coach for every team. So some of the activities are cognitive. They have to figure out a problem. Some of them are micromotor skills where they have to make a craft or something like that. And some of them are macro activities where they have to run a relay race. But there's always a sense of accomplishment and competition where either we're competing against the clock or competing against our own performance or competing against another team. And then in real time, the team leader gets coaching, and it's Socratic coaching. So you don't tell them what to do, but rather you raise questions so that it creates an awareness of what I should be thinking about. And then as long as they have aptitude, they can come up with the solutions themselves, and they will. And then at the end of the activity, which could be 15 to 30 minutes in length, then they do a debrief, a facilitated debrief. What do we learn from that? So it's just like muscle memory. You know, you learn to serve by hitting 1,000 serves and getting some coaching. So you learn to lead by actually leading these little mini projects, getting real-time coaching and debrief, and you do that over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, Michelle, you would be amazed at what some of these young women and these girls come up with in terms of leadership philosophy, self-awareness, confidence. And so it really does an incredible, incredible confidence level boost when they see themselves actually leading and not just being a follower. And the funny thing is that adults look at each other and say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this.
Yeah.
But again,
well, and I'm really,
you kind of have to see
that was
it
gonna
to
be
believe
the one,
it.
And one thing I was going to say is I would imagine even the adults that are there watching this are kind of learning as well, I'm assuming, because
exactly.
I didn't get that memo. They'll probably learn. I mean, can you share? I mean, I've only got a couple more minutes, and it's like I don't know if you've got time, but we can go a little bit longer. I was curious, you know, have you done this program with, I mean, is it parents that are really paying for this because they're concerned about their daughters? Has it been an organization that brought you in? I mean, you've obviously done some of these programs.
Typically we would work with schools. Occasionally it's a faith community, and occasionally it's a community center, a civic group. But we're actually making a pivot in our strategizing. We're still going to work with schools, but we've, just as you mentioned, we're tired of hitting our head against the roof. So what we're doing now is creating a model that will actually create out-of-school programs that would identify in the community students. We're doing a pilot program here in Burbank, Studio City, and Sherman Oaks area, Toluca Lake area, and we're going to try to create a sort of club training program, just like a club soccer or some other sort of high-intensity training program, but it'll be focused just on organizational leadership. So all that is to say is we're trying a new strategy sort of instead of going through schools who are preoccupied with academics, and rightly so, we're going to try to go right to parents. But obviously schools are still good ways to identify who these students are because they see them in a social setting. So you can tell who the leaders are in social settings because they tend to have more influence.
Boy, and I mean, tell us a little bit, are you a one-person, kind of team here? Do you have a whole team of people around the She Lead program, or is this your Pied Piper song? I want to know, how can people reach you and support you along with what you're looking for? But tell us a little bit about how you're organized.
Well, if you go to the Kid Lead website, K-I-D as in David, L-E-A-D as in David.com website, you can get a lot of information. There's a She Lead tab, and you can communicate with us. Really, I'm the sole person behind this nonprofit that I've been working on. But obviously, we have a lot of people who've been trained. We're in 8 different countries, and we have probably about 200 or 300 people who've been certified. So we've expanded. When people Google young leader development, usually they'll find us because we're kind of the only ones who do what we do. But having said that, we're still very pioneer-esque. We're still very, getting going. So a lot of R&D going on. So we would just love people like you, Michelle, who understand the big picture and would say, why don't we start young to identify these young women and give them a 10, 20-year head start? We'd love that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I'm assuming on your website, which, again, kidlead.com, is there a way for people to contact you or put a message in, and if they have questions want to know more or anything like that?
If they just click the contact button, we'll get the email. There should be a phone number on there, toll-free phone number. So all of that is there. And again, the She Lead tab is there, and they can find us through that website.
Well, and, final question kind of thing. I mean, look to the future, and if you had a magic wand and schools were not the we understand they're burdened with what they're burdened with, but if you could wave a magic wand and say, gosh, parents, it's like, here's what you could look at. I mean, give us a challenge. Give us a, hey, why don't, if this was the tipping point and we all did this, what would, how do you see the future for She Lead? Is it that companies need to kind of pony up, or you want to partner with other women's associations, or kind of tell us what you're looking for as support? Because I think we've got some listeners that might be very interested in what your program is.
I think it really takes women to develop women. And I really think it needs to be, whether it's an organization, whether it's a CEO, whether it's someone who has some bandwidth at the end of the day, end of the week, but to really say, how can we implement this? Because we have the tools, we have the toolbox. It's just figuring out some people that we can train how to use them. So it's there. It's just a matter of understanding that the organizational leadership we're talking about is different than what most people talk about under the age of 18. That really is more about citizenship. It's about self-esteem, all great stuff, but it really isn't executive caliber leadership skills. Those are the things in the real world that we look for. And I believe, this is a parting comment, Michelle, I believe that in the future, as you look at organizations, women are superior leaders to men, because the type of organizations that are evolving today, they match the strengths that women naturally have. And I think in the past, organizations have matched the strengths men have had, but not for the future. So I really think the time is of the essence for us to identify our female leaders young and give them a big head start.
I love that. Man, I don't even know how to, like, finish anything from that, except, Alan, I mean, for us, I know for CWI, we want to know more. It's like, I hope any of our listeners that kind of are hearing this look into it, because I do think it is at the younger age where women kind of get, I mean, they get molded. And then all of a sudden, it's like they're struggling with certain things. But, you know, some of the characteristics that you mentioned that we lose when we're in kind of a co-ed society, unconscious or conscious, I think you're onto something. So I'll give you that kind of plug, and just thanks again for not being our leading lady today. Thank you for being our leading man. And with that, I know our show is over, and I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. I think this was great stuff. I know there's more to come. Alan, best of luck to you. I want
thank
to share
you.
Next week, as all of you know, we're here every Friday and every Monday. Mondays at 9, Fridays at 2. And next week for our Friday show, our leading lady, we're back to leading ladies, is our leading lady will be Lisa Carman, who is the president and the CEO of T3W. And our topic for Lisa's is that she has spent 10 years, you know, in building a business empire with certifications and getting certified to do business at the local, state, and government level. So Lisa is going to talk to us about how she's gotten certified as a woman certified business and how to get your company noticed for both government and corporate procurement. So to our listeners, thanks for listening. To everybody that's out there, have a great weekend, and we will be back again next Friday. And I'm always wishing you much success, and please go out there and support another woman. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.